Hello again, John here. We've come to the part of the service where we're going to look at God's Word. And of course, as it's Easter Sunday, we're going to talk about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. What it is and why it's important. We are going to look at a very famous passage to do with the resurrection. We're going to look at it in two parts. So for the first part, we're just going to read a few verses. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 11. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 11. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still here, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. And that is God's word. The resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the fundamental claim of Christianity. The Apostle Peter, who's called Cephas, his Aramaic name in the passage we've just read, in Acts chapter 2, verse 32, on the day of Pentecost, says, God raised Jesus from the dead. Of this we are all witnesses. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the belief, is the claim that Jesus of Nazareth was raised from the dead by God. As a matter of historical fact. That's the claim. Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead by God as a matter of historical fact. We're going to define it like that because it's very important, because through this talk, we're going to look at things people have said, objections, and different interpretations of the resurrection of Jesus. But this is the claim that we're going to stand on today. It is that God did this work. It is what we call a miracle. It is not what many people have tried to say. It is not that Jesus passed out on the cross and then resuscitated, or one of the cases, and we know cases like this, where someone was declared dead and then they come back to life a day or two afterwards. What we've just spoken about, are natural phenomena. They're rare, of course they are, but they are within the laws of nature. The problem with describing the resurrection as these is simple. Jesus Christ was crucified. And he died on Friday afternoon and was raised on Sunday morning. His body had been pierced, battered, and bruised. If he just resuscitated naturally and his heart started beating again, he would have bled to death. He wouldn't have been walking around talking to people and preaching to people and ministering to people. It would have been, I guess, I'm not a doctor, it would have been a matter of minutes before he would have died. It's also a miracle in the sense that, yes, in the Bible, There are people who are raised from the dead. The most famous case is in John chapter 11 when Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Several times in his ministry, Jesus raised people who died, brought them back to life. We've looked at them in Luke's gospel. But the thing is, again, the people who were raised to life by Jesus, God raised them to life through the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, they would have died eventually. They would have lived the life to when they would have died. The resurrection of Jesus is that God has raised him from the dead. And as Romans 6 verse 9 says, we know that Christ being raised from the dead will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. This is the claim of Christianity. This is what we're saying. This is a unique, special event, and it only happened once, that someone died and God raised them from the dead and they never died again. Because it's the Lord Jesus Christ we're talking about. And on this, Paul calls it in this reading we've just read, of first importance. If this is not true, Christianity falls to the ground. Christianity is false, and we may as well close down and go home and eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die if Jesus is not raised from the dead. The idea that the resurrection can be reinterpreted into a beautiful and profound piece of religious symbolism will not stand up, according to the Apostle Paul. We're going to read on. We're going to read the second part of the reading I wanted to read from verse 12. Let's just look at what Paul said. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. Paul doesn't pull any punches there, does he? Christianity is, our faith is futile, and we're to be pitied. We're pathetic if this didn't happen. Because some traditions over the past 200 years, because we're modern now, we can't possibly believe that God raised a person from the dead. It's not natural, so we can't believe it. It's just a symbol. Well, I agree it's not natural. It's supernatural. It's a miracle. Only God could do something like this. But Paul says here, if it didn't happen, our faith is futile. I knew a lady, she was my friend when I was at uni, and she was a member of a very, very liberal church. And one of the last times I ever saw her, she very awkwardly told me that she was leaving the church. And I said, oh, right. I said, why? I didn't go to that church. I'm an evangelical, what we call someone who believes the Bible is the word of God. And I asked her why. I asked my friend why. And she said to me, well, I was listening to the story about the resurrection. And I thought, I just don't believe it. And if you don't believe in the resurrection, Christianity is not true. I can't understand these people who call themselves Christian but don't believe in the resurrection. And that's true, folks. Now, as much as I would have loved her to have said, I realise that if you're a Christian, you need to believe in the resurrection, so I gave my life to Jesus there and then. I wanted that to happen. But it didn't happen. And I said to her, well, you're consistent in a way a lot of people are not. Because if Jesus is not raised from the dead, Christianity is wrong and our faith is futile. And indeed, many people through history have realised this. They've realised if they can just prove Christianity wrong, if they can just prove, excuse me, that Jesus didn't rise from the dead, they can prove Christianity is wrong. One man who thought he could do it was a fella called Lee Strobel. His wife became a Christian and he was very angry about it because he wanted none of this religious rubbish. And he was going to prove to her that Jesus didn't rise from the dead. He was a journalist. He was good at collecting facts and analysing them. So he was going to prove that it was wrong and that his wife's faith was ridiculous. And he went to the resurrection because if he could disprove that, that's it. And after a long investigation, after discussions with scholars, he gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can read his story in a book called The Case for Christ, or if you wish to watch a DVD, you can watch it. It's called, of course, The Case for Christ. J. Warner Wallace, a chap who, again, was interested in the resurrection, a police officer, he investigated it and came to the conclusion that there could have been no other way that Jesus rose from the dead. The empty tomb, the appearances, the change in the disciples' behaviour, all these people showed that it was a genuine miracle and that the best explanation was that Jesus had been raised from the dead. I just quoted Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2. Peter, about a few weeks after the first Easter Sunday, was proclaiming Jesus as raised from the dead. If Peter was lying, he's a braver man than most people would give him credit for, because people have fought and died for evil things. You know, Nazi Germany, ISIS, Al-Qaeda. But they really did believe what they were saying. They didn't disbelieve, but went out and fought anyway. That nobody would do that. Nobody would stand up, risk their lives proclaiming Jesus is raised from the dead if they were lying. Or if they were hallucinating. And plus a load of other people would have been hallucinating as well. And indeed, the final author I want to point you to, I don't know about his story, but the book is called Who Moved the Stone by a chap called Frank Morrison. And he argues the same case. You can watch William Lane Craig. He gives a very good defense of the resurrection. He's actually wrote a book on it, The Resurrection of the Son of God. And they look at the historical facts and they come to the conclusion that God raised Jesus from the dead. So that's what the resurrection means. It means that God, by divine miracle, in fulfillment of the promises given in Holy Scripture, raised our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, why is this important? Why is this important? Three very important truths come to mind. First of all, if this is true, it proves that Jesus' death was for our sins. You notice, Paul says, if Christ is not raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Christ's death, as we've been looking at on the first Sunday of every month, was to pay for our sins. The Lord laid on him the iniquities of us all. He will divide the portion with the many. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. Jesus bore our sins on the cross. Those two verses I quoted were from Isaiah 53. They clearly say he bore the punishment. He was pierced for our transgressions. He bore the punishment that we deserved, and he paid the price for our sins. Verse 10, it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. God crushed Jesus Christ on the cross so that he could pay the price for our sins, that the wrath of God could be poured out, that the penalty be paid for, and so we go free. And that he fulfilled all the types and shadows of the Old Testament, and that he brought it to an end. The proof that that really is true is the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. He surely carried our sorrows and bore our iniquities. He surely paid the price for our sins because he was raised from the dead. That was God saying, yes, I've accepted. What did Jesus say? The last thing he said, or perhaps the last thing he said, depending on what order you think he said them, it is finished. It's done. I've paid the price. Their debts have been paid. They can be forgiven. They can be made holy. They can be called children of God. They can be accepted into glory because their sins are now paid for. And God accepted it because he raised him from the dead. The consequence of sin is death. Sin now has been conquered. Death could not hold the Lord Jesus Christ. It had no claim on him because he wasn't a sinner in his nature, and he'd paid for the sins of God's people. It was done. And that's why we can say, my sins are forgiven. Paul says in the last verse of Romans 4, he was raised again for our justification. Our justification, our right standing with God, is sealed and stamped because Jesus was raised from the dead. One preacher famously said, without the resurrection, the cross has no meaning. And it's true. It's true. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, his death didn't pay for our sins. It wasn't God pouring out his wrath so that he could accept us as his children. It was the death of a martyred revolutionary, and a failed one at that. It was the death of a religious fanatic. It was the death of so many possible interpretations, but it wasn't the death of the Son of God for our sins if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. That was God's acceptance, God's stamp of approval. Now, many people criticize this view of the cross, what we call penal substitution, the idea that Jesus took the punishment for us so we could become sons of God by being adopted and being united with him by faith. They say, well, if we're saved on the cross, what does the resurrection do? It doesn't do anything. You're reducing the resurrection to a stamp of approval. Well, my dear friend, Jesus didn't just come and die for our sins to be forgiven. He died to break the power of sin in our life. And this is the second point that the resurrection of Jesus means to us. Romans 6, Paul talks about this, the symbolism of baptism. Do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. The symbolism of baptism is that our old self has died, that it's been washed away. because we've been united by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read on in Romans 6, verse 5. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members as sin to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law but under grace. If you're a Christian, you're united to Christ. It's a precious doctrine. It's called union with Christ. We are by faith united with Christ. So when Christ died on the cross, your old self died. We call it being born again. That's next month's topic, regeneration, being born again. That our old self with Christ has died. Our sinful nature, that we were born in sin, that we loved sin, our old self died when Christ died. And when God raised Christ from the dead, we were raised with him. So we walk in newness of life. We've left the old life behind and we live the new life in Christ. We've died to sin. We've been born again to walk in righteousness, holiness, humility, love, spirit-filled life with the law written on our heart, not over us on tablets of stone. And it gives us the power to walk as Jesus walked. And it's because Christ died and rose again. We are united to him by faith. That's why the resurrection is important to us. Your power to live a new life, your power to live in holiness, in obedience to God's commands, comes from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because the Holy Spirit that God sent the Spirit and raised him by the Spirit, God raises us to new life by us being born again by the Holy Spirit. And where it's that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead that lives in us, that unites us to him. So the resurrection of Jesus makes a difference to our past and our present. Yes, our sins are forgiven because Christ's death on the cross has been accepted. We have right standing with God, and it gives us the power to live day to day in holiness, righteousness, and obedience. And third, it gives us a hope for the future. Daniel chapter 12 says there will be a resurrection. Chapter 12, verse 2. Just bear with me while I turn to it. Chapter 12, verse 2, it says, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. The Christian has an eternal hope that just as Jesus was raised from the dead in a glorified body and went into glory, we too, when Jesus comes back, either during our lifetime or after we've died, Jesus will glorify our body and take us to be with him forever. The old will have passed away. The new will have come. The old earth and the old heaven will pass away and we'll move into the new heaven and the new earth. It'll be glorious. And that's our eternal hope. That we will be raised together. Why? Because we're united with Christ and we will be united with a resurrection like his, and we'll be glorified with him, we'll share in his glory, we'll look on him forever and ever and ever. And this is why the resurrection is important. These three very important reasons. There are other reasons, but these are the three that Scripture emphasizes the most. So what will you do, my dear friend? If you're not a Christian today, the resurrection also proves this. There is a God and there is life after the grave. You will be held to account for how you've lived. And there is a Saviour, there is a Rescuer who died and rose again and who lives now and prays for his people. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you come to him this very day? Repent, say sorry, leave your sins. Obey Christ. Fall at his feet and receive him as Saviour and Lord. And will you take him and follow him all the days of your life? And if you have made that commitment, if you are a Christian, delight in the risen Christ. Delight in the risen Christ. Another very important change that happened on the day of Pentecost is that the believers started to gather on the first day of the week, the day we call Sunday. And we've done it for 2,000 years. We sort of forget how important that is because we've been doing it for 2,000 years. But the early disciples were all Jewish. And you can read in the first few chapters of the Bible, God blessed the seventh day, Saturday. And that was his day. And he told his people, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Remember that I created and blessed that day. Remember that it's the day you remember that you were slaves in Egypt and you're now free. And as soon as Jesus rises from the dead, these Jewish men stop doing that. They worship on another day and they give it the title, the Lord's Day. That's a name for the Sabbath in Isaiah 58. Why did they do that? Because something amazing happened. We've talked about it. God raised Jesus from the dead. This was the day that the Lord has made. This was the new day when the Christians began to gather to remember their freedom from sin. And they praised God for the work of Christ. So, dear friends, we can't meet at the moment because we're on lockdown, but call this day a delight. Think of the wonderful things that God did on the first day of the week in the Bible. We've mentioned them all. The first day of the week in Genesis 1, he said, let there be light. He began his creation week. The first day of the week in the Gospels, he raised Christ from the dead. So, he began new creation. The first day of the week in Acts chapter 2, he sent the Spirit down and baptized the church, and they went out and proclaimed the gospel with missionary zeal, proclaiming that Christ had been raised. Think on this, all these beautiful things that God has done on this day, and he calls his people to gather to remember him. The Lord's Day. Use it for the glory of God to think and praise and meditate and worship and apply these beautiful truths to your life. The Lord's Day. The day of resurrection, of new life, where we receive all these truths and then walk on through the week in the reality of the risen Christ. If you're struggling with sin, you're struggling with addiction, you're struggling with problems, know that Jesus is with you and he's risen. Your sins are forgiven. There's power in the blood of Christ to forgive, to cleanse, and to make new. Because he's risen from the dead. He's promised to be with you forever and ever because he's risen from the dead and sent the Holy Spirit among us for comfort, for conviction. for conforming us to the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. So look to Christ, everyone. Run to him. See everything you need in Christ Jesus. Everything you want, all you could ever hope for, it's all in him. And depend on him, and love him, and rejoice in him, and delight in him. And tell people of him. This is too good to keep to ourselves. Let's be a missionary people. Let's be a missionary church. Christ is risen. That's the best hope anyone could have. It's true. It happened. And it gives us a hope in the days of a coronavirus, in the days of a massive economic downturn, in the days of social unrest, of uncertainty about the future. We have a hope because Christ is risen. We have a Saviour who's alive, who's pleading for us. We have a Saviour who's coming back to rescue us, to take us to be with himself, and who said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though he dies, will live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Because we know that Christ being raised from the dead, he will never die again. God bless you, and receive him today. Amen.